On evenings, the Peter Jackson VFL with Nigel Carmody. You can catch the VFL Game of the Week between Essendon and Collingwood on Channel 7 from 11:30 this Sunday.
Isn't it great to have Channel 7 and the VFL in a partnership, both free-to-air and up and running? ABC relinquished, Channel 7 took up the cudgels, and do so with Nigel Carmody, Jason Bennett, Campbell Brown, and Brock McLean. Boundary side, we're going to see him.
Going to be a number of guys through the course of the year. Brad Sewell did a wonderful job on Saturday. Obviously, yep. Has great insight into the Hawthorn side of things. They're a line partner of Box Hill.
And a big VFL with North Ballarat.
Yeah, Miles, great rapport with his brother, of course, being a Liston Trophy winner and premiership player with the North Ballarat Roosters. So he was excellent. We'll have Jake King through the course of the year, another product of the VFL. He started his elite level football with Coburg, of course, before making his way to the Tigers. So far so good for the coverage. Really good numbers from a ratings point of view, and a Sunday game this week, which is a bit of a rarity, but obviously smorgasbord of footy on Anzac Day.
Hey, so, mate, VFL, really the VFA. Sunday. Take me back and keep me there, if you don't mind. So you've got to do a little bit of either a Phil Gibbs or a Ted Henry. Did you see that one there? Always asking questions, rhetorically. Oh, Freddie Cook, what happened there? And, or you could be a young Eddie Maguire or Bruce McAvaney or Rex Hunt. They all kicked off in the VFL.
Some wonderful clips on YouTube if you go for a search. A clip of Bruce and Rex calling the 1985 Williamstown and Sandringham Grand Final, which is worth chasing down at some stage.
So in a moment, we're going to catch up with the Essendon Development and Welfare coach, Paul Corrigan. But just a quick look back and the Footscray, Box Hill had a victory over the Premiers, but 15 scoring shots to 22, and Footscray were let down by their goal kicking. That being said, big squad went over to Tasmania, late withdrawal, Bontempelli. We know that the Bulldogs will not have the depth of a Hawthorn. So how are the top-up players in these two teams? Not top-up, how are the VFL-listed players, excuse me, how would you compare the various strengths taking the AFL lists out?
It's probably more experience in the Footscray side of things. The fact they've got Jordan Russell and Mark Austin as their co-captains, who both played obviously extensive AFL footy, as did Brent Prismal, who's their vice-captain, and Michael Fogarty, who is from Spotswood in the Western Region Footy League and was an excellent player in the Dogs Premiership side last year. So they've got really good depth there. Managed to retain Alex Greenwood, who was on the Western Bulldogs rookie list for a few years and has decided to continue to play VFL with the Footscray outfit. So they're pretty well served there. But credit to Box Hill and their ability to continue to produce talent. I mean, Dave Mirra is one of the outstanding players in the competition. His intercept marking on the weekend was a real feature down back, and he's a wonderful leader for them. But some younger players in that team who are starting to emerge, and some guys that have had to spin their wheels, admittedly, even in the development league for a number of years. Sam Crocker, who sat on the St Kilda list for a couple of years, he's played over 50 games in the development league across his time as a Sandringham or Box Hill player. He was excellent in the senior side on the weekend. He's getting to the age of about 23 now, so really that's the time where guys tend to hit their stride, particularly players that have been perhaps a little bit lighter bodied.
Well, that was Sam's problem. Yeah. His physique was difficult.
Mitch O'Donnell was outstanding from Box Hill point of view. Went head-to-head with Clem a few times in the call. Clay Smith, who made a wonderful return from a second ACL rupture. He is hopefully not too far off stringing enough games together to see him back in the AFL lineup. So good stories from a depth point of view for both VFL lists.
Coburg, it was an excellent performance last year to win, I think, six games, to be in another four games, to have Adam Saad not only drafted but straight into the Gold Coast starting lineup. And their old partners are now I'm not going to say bunnies, but I think they beat them last year and they've got them again this year. Coburg, too good for the Richmond Tigers.
Yeah, really impressed with Coburg. I think they're prepared to climb this season under Peter German. Certainly have things together off the field that gives them a very good framework to continue to build. Oscar Yusel, outstanding game building on what was a very good 2014 for him. He might be the new version of Adam Saad this year from a draftability point of view. Josh Couchy came in from the Calder Cannons, hit the scoreboard for them on the weekend as well, and they've just managed to retain most of their list.
And I think Leck Featherstone had a delayed start maybe his preparations.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but I think still managed to kick a couple on the weekend. So they've built, they've retained, and I think they're going to climb the ladder in 2015.
Now, there were a couple of heart stoppers. Williamstown pipped the Northern Blues by a point, and if this one wasn't the one to beat the band, then after the siren,
You'll be Zadry.
Yeah, I got the letters right. It's like I dropped my Scrabble holder. Pardon, Yilbir. Yilbir Zigai, a point after the siren, travelled about 50 metres.
Yeah, 55-metre kick to that Hampton Street end of Trevor Barker Beach Oval. Wonderful game of footy. Really think both of these teams are going to be well and truly in contention throughout the course of the year. Lots to like about the Bombers. They did have 18 AFL-listed players in on Sunday, but they have really, really good depth in their VFL list this year with what they've been able to pick up with the likes of Cole Hardingham, Marcus Murugliani returning back there from Sandringham, and of course Jordan Schroeder, who didn't play on the weekend but has won a Liston trophy with St Kilda, and James Polkinghorne, who of course was delisted from the Brisbane Lions. So they've got good depth there. Lots to like about the Zebras. Mitch Brown, most people consider that he should be on an AFL list at the moment, and he showed
why. Well, James Hurd said that he will take him. So he'll be a Bomber next year unless somebody jumps in beforehand, and that may well happen.
And played against the right club on the weekend for the performance he delivered with 4 goals.
So there you have it. Paul Corrigan is the development and welfare coach at Essendon. And on Sunday, that VFL match of the day on 7 will be the perfect follow-up for the Anzac Day clash. If you're a fan of the winning side, then if you just want a little bit more pleasure, you go to Windy Hill. If conversely your team loses, then maybe revenge can't be safe. You can't wait. You can't serve it cold. You need something. So next day, try and get something back at VFL level. Good evening, Paul Corrigan.
G'day, guys. How you going? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming onto the program. This Essendon VFL team that has, look, Marcus Murugliani, we spoke about Mitch Brown in those opportunity games whilst the Essendon listed players, some of whom were not available, waited. Well, if Mitch Brown did very well, which he did, then Marcus wouldn't have been a mile behind him. So it's great to have him already down back at Essendon, because he, of course, was there, Paul.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic just to add a little bit more experience to our VFL list. And the names you mentioned before, like Cole Hardingham and James Polkinghorne and Schroeder, I mean, these guys, you know, coming into the VFL side are really going to add to our younger guys on the list as well. And when we can draw on their experience throughout the year, it's going to be great for us.
How's Gotti going, goal of the year? I've given Lachlan Dalgleish goal of the year. I've just decided that goal that I saw in the NAB Challenge is good enough for goal of the year. And beyond that, he's a guy that's had to wait a couple of years for full fitness. He looks right to go at any point in time at the higher level, Paul.
Yeah, he has. He had his injury concerns last year and was sort of riddled throughout the year. He couldn't quite get some consistent, you know, games and form together, but he's had a really good pre-season and hasn't missed too much. So I think that flowed on through the NAB Cup series. And then we saw, you know, that on the weekend against Sandy. He sort of had a replica again of that goal. He kicked in the NAB Cup. He did it against, you know, Sandy again on the weekend.
Paul, we were talking to Michael Pryor from Fremantle earlier on in regards to the start of the game they had against West Coast on the weekend, where they had just complete dominance, and how much the coaching staff either want to do or are required to do in that situation. Felt for both coaching boxes at the end of your game on the weekend. It was so close and tight with 3 or 4 minutes to go. It seemed like you would be helpless almost in that situation. What were the moves that either Hayden Skipworth or yourself or any other guys in there were trying to manipulate to create the result you wanted? You ultimately didn't get it in the end, but did you feel like you were a little bit helpless, or were there anything specific you were trying to do in that point?
You probably are a little bit, and you're probably just trying to get, you know, the right personnel, you know, around the footy, you know, in the contest first, and then, you know, you want to set up your defence as well. And we probably found on the weekend that we had a lot of the possession, you know, throughout the game, and we probably didn't utilise it and weren't efficient enough, you know, when going forward and inside 50. And to Sandy's credit, they probably used the ball a lot better and were a bit more efficient when they went inside. And I think when you look at the end of the game, you know, we definitely had our chances in that third quarter, and we missed a few goals, which probably hurt us in the end. And they probably used the ball a bit better, and they had that shot from outside 50 and it sailed through for a point, so they come out on top. So a bit disappointing, but we'll take, you know, a fair bit out of the game and learn from it, hopefully.
Paul, we read in the paper, in a very comprehensive review of Essendon's performance in that VFL game in the Herald Sun, that there's a 9 kilometre limit on tape pairs in terms of meterage in his comeback from injury. Now, it's a really interesting notion. Is this common? Is this commonplace that there are, for returning players, limits on how far they can travel? And, of course, that would be done with a GPS. And it lends us to believe that if you are to limit, then it's obviously the forward line is the best place to play a player.
Yeah, generally it becomes a bit of juggling act. You know, at times we do have players that come back that may have missed, you know, certain periods of time with their football, and, you know, we don't just want to throw them back in, you know, playing, you know, full game time and put them under pressure again where they might injure themselves. So we do get that occasion at weeks where we do have guys coming back on certain limits. And you've just got to adjust, really. I think that sometimes a 23rd that we have at VFL level can help with that, giving us that extra player. But it can also be, you know, a bit hard too if you've got a couple of guys that go down with injury, you know, at the start of the game. Like I said, it becomes that sort of juggling act on where to play them, and you can't sort of throw them through the midfield where they're going to clock up a lot of Ks. So you might have to push them forward or push them back to try and save them and get them towards the end of the game.
How does it manifest itself? You see, it reminds me of low petrol fuel light on my car. So does it, like, at 8.5 kilometres, did Tate's GPS start beeping? And did he start trying to take the direct route to the ball because he knows he's only got half a K of petrol left?
Yeah, we'll probably try and push him a bit, you know, closer to goal so he doesn't have to run as far up the ground. But no, look, we do a pretty good job with making sure that they get their rest, you know, throughout the quarter. And if they do go over a little bit or, you know, are under, you know, we understand that it's still a game of football. So they've got to play out the game. So, like I said, yeah, it does get hard, but we seem to manage it pretty well week in, week out at this stage.
Chance for a live HR review here, Paul. How's brother Mark going in his foray into coaching with the club? Of course, joining in a development coaching role this year after a great career, admittedly, with the Cats in the VFL.
Yeah, I think with Mark, or as we call him now, Harry, he basically has stepped in really well at Essendon. I think that's helped coming from another AFL club and being involved in an AFL environment at Geelong. Obviously, you do certain things a little bit differently from club to club, but the day-to-day process of, you know, what you do with your training and how you go with your reviews and with the players, he's been able to step in, and like he's been there, you know, for a couple of years already. And I think the playing group's taken to him really well, and he's fitted in really well with the coaching staff. Also, he's just, you know, really happy. He's got a full-time position. He can sort of really concentrate on footy full-time.
We're chatting with Paul Corrigan, development and welfare coach at Essendon. Am I right in saying that Corrigan's a pretty traditional Irish name, Paul?
Yes, it definitely is.
So you and your brother might be one of the two of the only people at the club who can understand what Conor McKenna says. I heard that his accent is so thick and his Gaelic is so prominent that I heard Brendan Goddard in the NAB Challenge say that he had a chat with him and walked away and said, I really don't know what he just said.
I'm probably a little bit more fortunate because I took him sort of under my wing as soon as he sort of came into the club. So I've been working, you know, really closely with Conor. So it took me a while at the start to understand, you know, just talking to him one-on-one, and even some of the text messages I was getting from him, I didn't quite understand the lingo. But he does slow down when he actually reads something. So occasionally when he does read, we can understand him a lot clearer. But I think the more time you spend with him, you get to understand. He's got a bit of a cheeky nature as well, but he's been fantastic since he's come on board. He hasn't missed a session, and he just does more and more extra sessions than some of the other players because he realises that he's got a lot to do to make it, and he just wants to do everything he can to get to an AFL game.
He looks powerful, fast, and has all of the tricks to become another Irish success story, but he's going to have to bounce back from running too far with the ball and then giving away a 100-metre penalty.
Yeah, that's right. We've been working on that with him, that he just can't take off and run as far as he wants. So, he's really powerful, and we've sort of been playing more up forward because it's come sort of naturally to him coming from the Gaelic game. So he's actually done really well throughout the NAB Cup. Obviously, he missed last week with suspension, so we'll see him back this week on Sunday, which will be good for the fans as well.
Paul, your opponents this week, Collingwood, playing for the Blue Star Cup on Sunday. What was the scouting report from their loss to North Ballarat at Eureka Stadium?
Yeah, we had a day off today, so I haven't been in the club. So we usually get basically the report either today or tomorrow. So I'll have a look at their game. I've just sort of finished all our reviews from last week. So I'll have a look at their game tomorrow and on Friday, and then sort of report back to the players on what we can look at. So, look, I know every time we come up against Collingwood, it's always a tough match, and especially playing on Anzac weekend. You know, it's a great privilege that we can actually play on this weekend, and we're really looking forward to the contest on Sunday. And no doubt it'll be another close one like we've had with Collingwood in previous years.
I've been to Essendon Windy Hill since it's been redeveloped. It's ringed by, there's a primary school there, but a lot of local families seem to gravitate towards a game at Windy Hill, and I imagine on the weekend it'll be the same. It's a really good dynamic. It's gone from the most horrible place in the world to watch a game of footy when in the old days to a real family-friendly environment there, Paul.
Yeah, it has, and I've sort of noticed that in the last couple of years that I've been there, that you do get a lot of families down with young kids, and it's a great environment, and hopefully on Sunday we can get a lot of our fans and Collingwood fans down there and get a number of people there, which would be great, and hopefully the weather holds off as well and we get a nice day. And I think that's just, I think with the VFL footy these days, it's great to see that, you know, local communities and families can get down to the local footy of the VFL and, you know, support and get closer, you know, to the players as well on game day.
It serves two masters. It's a great competition. There'll be rivalry and a real drive by both VFL sides to win. And AFL sides are all about depth, and this is where you see it. Paul, thanks for joining us, and all the best for the remainder of the season.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
L. Essendon, Development and Welfare Coach, one of the Corrigans, Paul. Tips, please, quickly. Werribee v North Ballarat, Nigel.
Werribee.
Port Melbourne make their season debut against the Blues.
Port.
Frankston, Richmond.
Richmond.
Essendon, Collingwood, the Channel 7 match of the day, 11:30 Sunday.
Bombers.
Footscray versus the Scorps.
Dogs.
Ooh. Box Hill Hawks versus Coburg.
Hawks in a close one.
Wouldn't it be great if Coburg won that? Williamstown v Sandringham.
Sandy.